Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, the wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are doing devotion. Woo-wee. Guess what, family? It is way too early in the morning. Way too early in the morning. But this is the time we have to get up. If we're going to get some food for our fast, get our prayers in, and just intentionally start our day. We have to be a lot more intentional about our day, because I know we underestimate ourselves as manifestors. We are grand manifestors, and we have to act like it though. You know, people don't just believe you just because of your words. You know, you have to actually make things happen. But we are constantly making things happen. And if you didn't know that, if you hadn't had an experience, you just knew it's a wonderful approach, whatever you got going on, we are always making things happen. The only question I have is, are you making something positive happen? Are you making something negative happen? Those are the two things that we're doing. And we're always doing them. Always. So what does that mean? That means we have to get more intentional, meaning I did it on purpose. We have to get more intentional about what we're doing and why. We have to get more intentional about the how in our life. How am I going to maintain good character? You know, I remember the craze, this may have been 30 years ago, and they had these wonderful bracelets, and the bracelets would say, what would Jesus do? And even though I don't subscribe to be a Christian, I do know that Jesus was a prophet. He was, for us, someone to model the good behavior after, good thoughts after. And I'm not saying he was always peaceful, because when things were not right, he was not peaceful. So we can go and say, okay, that's good behavior to model after. What would he do? You know, would he talk about, would he talk behind his neighbor's back? Would he go and discredit and slander people's names? Would he go and, you know, spend all day eating popcorn, gossiping on the phone? You know, there's some real basic questions that we can probably say, no, Jesus wouldn't. I don't think he'd be into that. And so the question is, why are we? Why are we not forcing balance in our life? Why are we allowing negativity just to act a donkey and do whatever it wants to do? Why? You know, we have to start really pushing ourselves to maintain good character. And I understand why it may be difficult. It may be difficult because it may seem like ain't nobody else maintaining good character. Mama Seven, you sitting here asking us to do stuff that ain't nobody else doing. We have to start working on changing that narrative a little bit, okay? Let's push it a little further than that. Let's try to have good character, good, you know, everything. Let's be a person of our word. Let's make sure we're setting examples for young ones to follow, because trust me, they're following. You know, they are actively watching us. Let's set good examples for them, if no one else, you know. We have to start thinking a little bit more long term when it comes to who we are and what we're doing. Okay? Who are we? Who are we? What do we stand for? Who do we say that we're about?
No, what is that information like? So let's think about it, okay? Day 11, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, look, by day 10, if you don't have a rhythm down, you're not following through all the way. By this time, we have a routine. We already know what we're doing. We know what we're trying to achieve. We know. Now it's just a matter of following it through. We know what we need for our fast. Now is the time where we have to say, okay, stop playing. This is what's going on. This is what I need, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Stop trying to this is the time when you start to try to cheat, you know. So before the first, I say 3 days, maybe four, maybe even five, you are legitimately hungry. You're legitimately perturbed by whatever you got to give up, okay? Legal. By day 11, now you're at the point where you're just like, you know, I'm just kind of tired of it now. You know, it's called testing personal control. Or you get to the point where you're like, oh, I'm doing so good. I should be allowed to do whatever you're not supposed to do. Or I'm going to call this my cheat day. Ain't no cheat days. Because Lord knows we don't need God to take no cheat day. See, you know, I think we have to start realizing that what we're doing, if we're going to be creators in our life, if we're going to be manifestors in our life, we also have to understand that we have to take some responsibility in our life, high-level responsibility, high-level. So in the middle of all this, let's take some high-level responsibility for who we are right now and what we're doing right now. Okay? So we have to, in essence, become creators. And just like our guide who sets a wonderful example for us on what to do and what not to do, even though our guide don't take no days off, we can't take no days off. This is 30 days. This is not 30 years. It's not 30 months. It's just 30 days. And we can do this, all right? We're at day 11. We got 19 more days in here. We can do this. But I realized right about here, actually right about yesterday, it takes a recommitment, okay? This is the time where you're going to have to double back down and say, okay, what have I achieved enough resistance to keep going, or do I really need to say, okay, here are my weak spots. This is where I keep messing up, and I keep messing up every time I try to do this with the kids, okay? Plan ahead of time. You know, kids eat like, you know, no tomorrow. And if their munchies are making you feel munchy, you know, maybe, you know, we have to do something different. Shoot, get them a healthy snack. And then you'd be like, I don't want that. If it makes it less desirable for you, go ahead and do that, you know. Whatever it takes, we're in survival mode, family. We're trying to survive this moment. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're trying to survive this moment knowing that the more we work on ourselves here, the better that things will be for us on the other side. We're working on our gift basket, okay? The more I input now, the better things are going to be for me over there, okay? Allow yourself the chance, the opportunity, the chance to see and say, if I can achieve this, I can achieve that. If I can work on this, I can work on that. See where you can go. All right, so today when we're doing our journaling, yay, on the journaling. When we're doing our journaling, today is one of those days. We've been dealing with one of those days for a half second now. We've been managing through the storm, managing through the difficulties, praying through the storm, spiritual warfare. You know, we really, really have had to say some words. Some hard work. Today is loving our faithless angels. All right? Now, what are faithless angels? Faithless angels are those babies that are lost before they get all the way through to earth. Okay? Where God sends them and they sit in the womb for however long they do. But they never quite are born, or they are born and they transition very quickly, like under a year, okay? And there's 1,001 reasons why this happens. It can happen voluntarily. You know, the woman decides, hey, I don't want to do this, and goes to the clinic. It can happen involuntarily between miscarriage and stillbirth. There's all kind of ways that it happens, but when it does, it feels unnatural. It feels wrong. It can 100% interrupt your relationship with God, because you're like, God, wait a minute. How can you send me an angel and then snatch him back? And so these beings, unfortunately, are not, they're not recognized enough, and so their spirit becomes disruptive, because we go from oohing and aahing and talking about babies and baby showers, and we go from that to nothing. The baby usually doesn't get a name. The baby doesn't get a face because it wasn't born. So it becomes a faceless angel. Because the baby has no ancestry, no descendants, the baby usually doesn't get any light or anything else like that. That is not the proper way to handle family. That is not the way that we handle people. That's not the way that you handle people in your family. Everyone deserves light. Everyone deserves attention, love, prayers, kind thoughts. Everyone deserves that. This is why we have an ancestral practice, to pay homage and respect to those that came before. Well, these little ones come and go so quickly. A lot of times they don't get that. So they sit there mad and confused, like, wait a minute. That is my family, but they don't acknowledge me. That's my family, but, you know, no one ever says my name. I don't even have a name. No one ever acknowledges my presence or the loss of it. You know, that little spirit is reduced to whispers. Whispers and rumors. And even with the rumors, a lot of times those little ones, both parents may not have agreed on something voluntary. You know, sometimes a lot of the dads don't even know, because someone else has made a decision for them. Either way, with all those different variations and variables, there are a lot of spirits, limbo, this unhappy limbo, a lot. So every now and again, and I know I maintain energy for them, not just mine, but for the collective of them. There's a lot of them. Some prayers would be kind for them. Acknowledging their existence would be kind for them. You know, sharing a story with, you know, or just having a kind remembrance with your partner about them is so helpful. So very helpful. So let's take a moment today to journal about, if you have one personally, you know, journal about when you remember that, you know, the situation and all the good positive feelings. And, you know, a lot of times we don't want to go down that street because it's like, man, but the feelings I had afterwards, look, that's on you, okay? That's like saying I'm not going to reward one child because the other child didn't get it. That's not fair. You know, if you are forever in this state of displeasure, unhappy, how are you going to get out of it? What's this, what do you ever get on the other side? I can tell you there's healing in speaking and sharing and relieving yourself of the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, the whatever you're feeling. Let some of that go. You are really, really pressing yourself, and it's not positive. You see? So let's take a moment when we do our journaling. Write down the situation. Even if you don't know their name, you can always say, you know, Baby Davis. You know, you can always say Baby Abdullah, whatever baby that your last name is or his, the father's last name is. You can always say that. Now would be a good time to check your ancestral lineage and find out, you know, there may be a name mentioned that you didn't realize. Like, well, wait a minute, what is this little name here for? You know, spend some time, you know, cleaning up with your ancestors a little bit and finding out who did what with where and what was the situation going on. You know, we've had situations, plagues and everything else like that. You know, was there a child lost due to sickness, due to SIDS? Like, what happened? And just sharing it and talking about it helps to relieve some of that energy on it. It does. It does. So, as we're wrapping up our morning, okay, I got to impress upon you, day 11, we in double digits, right? How awesome. At the same time, don't be surprised if it takes a recommitment to get back into your swing of things. Don't be surprised if it takes a recommitment to really understand and value why you're doing this. Don't forget why you're doing it. You're not doing this because Mama Seven said do it. And if you are, then we need to talk. Because this is way bigger than any human, okay? This is one of those things that, you know, this is about you and your relationship with God. This is about you and the things that you told God you were going to do / not going to do. So you can't focus in on me because I get real old. You be like, oh, I'm so sick. Mama Seven, just keep on, keep on, keep on. Right? It has to be more than that. It has to be bigger than that. It has to be more than just a competition. You know, it has to be more than just trying to, you know, keep up with the Joneses and keep up with the other angels. And I don't want to be left behind. No. No, no, no. It has to be way bigger than that. Allow it to be one of the most important things you do. Everything I do with a wonderful approach, I always say, this is the most important thing that I can do. And they're like, what? Why? Why this retreat? Why is this retreat so important? Why is that so important? Why? You know, and the answer is real easy. You know what I'm saying? it's the most important thing, because this is the thing that I'm preparing for God. This is the thing that I'm working hard to make sure God sees. This is the part of me that I am intentionally sacrificing for God. So that's why it's the most important thing that I can do. And everybody needs to feel this way about what they're doing. Okay? In your fast, be safe. Remember the purpose. It's not to pass out. It's not to, you know, just start trouble. It's not for this. It's not for that. Remember the purpose. The purpose is to expand yourself. It is to test the spirit, test the body. For me, in the past, I always said it's to put things in its right places, meaning backing down off of the bread, backing down off of the sugar, backing down off of the cheese, just getting my body back to a very natural state. And then this year with the raw, I'm telling you, family, I am so very pleased about how my body responds and feels with raw. I am so very pleased. If I would have known really that I had the ability to do this, not being tested against the wills of the world, but if I knew I had the ability to do this, I would have been done this. In my mind, I'm already putting things in place. Okay, am I going to do raw during the day, and then in the evenings maybe have hot vegetables once this is over, you know, be able to cook some food in the evening time. You know, I'm trying to find ways to incorporate what I'm learning about food, and I am intentionally learning, and what I'm learning about how my body responds to food. I'm learning, and I'm putting some of those things in place so that I can continue to be healthy and healthier after the fast. See, I'm trying to build, because I know the more I give to God, the harder I work in that gift basket. I know God is going to be giving all that right back to me in one form or another. The more and harder I work, the harder I know that God's going to say, okay, here, you did all this for me? Yes. You're giving it to me? Yes. All right, look what I have for you. And I turn around and I look at my benefits. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So this is why I say put everything in, everything. Do it well. And then you'll turn around and you'll be able to reap that on the back end. And it'll be just as wonderful and beautiful. And I can't wait. So I want to continue to encourage everybody. Please reach out to your fast buddies. You know, everyone casually. I've been fasting probably since I was 11 or 12 years old. There are some people that are 30, 40, walking into their first fast. So go ahead and make the phone calls. Reach out. You know, text is fine, but somebody might need a call. You know, find out how everyone's doing, you know, especially if you've done this 2 or 3 years now. You know, at that point, after your second year, you kind of have a good understanding as to how this is going to work. Make the call so that they know, hey, we're here. We can see you. We can feel you. How can we help? You know, I may be ahead of a wonderful approach, but a head can't do nothing but sit there and think. A head with no legs ain't going nowhere. A head with no arms is not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, I really appreciate all those that do the work, with me. Everyone has their own little ministry going on in their little bubble. So we have to work on ourselves first, and then we have to reach out for others, okay? I want everyone to have an absolute wonderful day. Be blessed in your interactions. Be blessed because you're insisting on being blessed. That's what I like to do. I claim it. I claim it, and I position my eyes to see it. And that's something that I don't think we do enough of. Claim it. It's yours. It's for you. Also, get your eyes ready to see it. What are you doing? How's it working? Okay? Prayer, family. Prayer is so very important. We've got to get in the habit of prayer. We have to desire prayer. We have to understand prayer is a tool. We have to understand that prayer is that nice warm blanket on a cold night. You know, we have to understand prayer is here for us. You hear prayer here in the morning. If you listen to a wonderful approach in the evening, you hear prayer there. You know, hopefully, I came in, some random station was playing some old Negro spirituals. I said, oh, okay, well, tell me how you really feel, spirit. You know, taking it back in the day. Prayer. Let's go ahead. Let's continue to be as active in our prayers, in our positive energy, in our desires to move forward. Let's keep that energy. Keep that same energy going forward, okay? All right. Father, Mother, God, we come before you humbly, offering prayer, offering kind words, offering our energy, offering our resources, whatever we have that we can offer, we offer them to you willingly, gladly, knowing that all of this is yours anyways. And being thankful that you love us enough to give them to us. God, we want to make prayer for those faithless angels out there, those little ones that may be lost for a moment. We pray that they find their way back to you, God, and that they get ready to be birthed into a family. If not that family, another family. If not that time, then further down the lineage. But we ask that you bring peace to the family. We ask that you start to heal the pain of the loss. We ask that you keep the little angel cool and calm as they have to wait for their next opportunity to come through. We ask that we begin to set up positive ways to recognize these little angels so that we can have a strong lineage, a strong ancestral understanding. May they come and enrich the lineages and teach the lessons that they have to teach. May we be open enough and not blinded by pain, blinded by anger, to see the lesson that this angel is set up to teach us. And that you have sent the angel down to teach us. God, I ask for patience, honesty, love, compassion, to help to counsel those that do have this challenge and where it keeps them hostage, God. I know all these things are possible. I have full faith, full confidence in you, God. I know that your will be done, and I look to follow instructions and be obedient. These things I ask in your name. Amen.